Leadership can come from anywhere, and it's an unlimited quantity. There's only one chief procurement officer at Duke, but leaders can be every employee of the company. And so we're trying to unlock and enhance leadership.
Welcome to Modern Business Operations, where we talk with leaders about how ops is adapting to our modern world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Modern Business Operations. Today, I have the pleasure of hosting Dwight Jacobs. He's the SVP and Chief Procurement Officer of Duke Energy. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Sagi, it's great to be with you. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. Well, let's jump in. Maybe start by talking about your role, some of your background, a little bit about Duke Energy too. Yeah, how did you get to where you are right now?
Yeah, like a lot of people, there's been some twists and turns. I've been with Duke Energy for 22 years, but only in supply chain for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
I'm a finance person by background, so I'm a CPA, so I can do your taxes. So you don't think about that type of person necessarily in the procurement space, but at Duke Energy, which is my employer of the last 22 years, we move around and give folks different opportunities. So it's been really neat to be part of supply chain. I joined it right in the middle of COVID. And so that was a tough time to get introduced into supply chain, but we've learned a lot, and I think the company's better for it.
So they brought the Coverly basically for the COVID time, because that was a very interesting time to join a supply chain role.
No question. My kids, I have two adult children. They said, "Dad, we never heard about problems with supply chain until they put you in charge." And so I think I broke it, but I didn't break it. We're trying to help it be a little better.
Yeah, this is the thing about timing is, are you the cause or are you the solution? Yeah. No, that's hilarious. Well, so let's talk about a little bit the double click about that role a little bit further, because I know, and I've seen this in previous conversation too, and my own experience in what we do in Tonkin, but the world of procurement, supply chain is part of it, but just even more generally, has gone through a lot of changes. And you mentioned COVID already. Obviously, there was a big struggles with the supply chain and the impact that it had across the board. But there's also earlier than that, bunch of new, I guess you can call it new compared to previously, methodologies and requirements, whether it's diversity for suppliers, whether it's carbon related and climate related policies, coming to that world from finance. How do you look at that?
Yeah, when you think of Duke Energy, some of your audience may not know much about a utility, but we provide electric and gas service for 10 million families and businesses across the Midwest United States and Southeast United States. And so when you think about what we're doing, we're going through a major clean energy transition. We want to power the communities in which we operate and give reliable, clean, affordable service to them. And so supply chain's been right at the crossroads of that. We cannot serve the increased demand from electrification or the energy transition that we're going through without supply chain. So we have been working on partnerships. We have been working on sourcing materials with manufacturers on a longer term scale. It's been an interesting transition. It no longer can just be transactional. We have to do long-term planning.
And does the, so when you think about the partnerships, when you think about the different requirements that are now added, right? So this is obviously something being in the utility, being in the energy segment already, obviously the clean carbon neutral type of discussions are ingrained in your company, but as a supply chain problem would, it kind of goes down to the suppliers. Is that something that you guys approached from the bottom up, from the top down? Did you went to all your existing suppliers or did you change your strategies? I'm just curious of that transition.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things there. One is we're trying to add more and more suppliers. We try to make sure that we engage with companies in the communities in which we serve. Some of our customers are also suppliers. And so that allows for more resilience, because one of the lessons learned from COVID is that we wanted to have a resilient supply chain. We also think adding more suppliers drives down prices, and we want competition to drive down prices for affordability. But we're having, as I alluded to earlier, we're having to plan longer term and have, as I referenced, partnerships with folks to look because they have choices, right? Why do they want to do business with Duke? And we think that we have an excellent plan to serve our customers, alignment with our regulators. We're heavily regulated like some industries are, and we have really good alignment with our regulators. So we make the pitch to them to say that over the next 2 years, over the next 3 years, over the next 5 years, we have a view and we want you to take this ride with us. We think you'll be successful. And if you're successful, then we're successful for our customers.
Makes sense. Let's switch gears and talk about your personal transition a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Sure.
From a finance role for a couple of decades, you mentioned, and into that procurement, I think a lot of times there's a different perception of what it takes to run different business units or different departments and how they compare, how they construct, what are the learnings from that transition. So maybe kind of talk a little bit about that. So what's similar, what you found different, and maybe successful things or methodologies that you had in your experience leading before and you brought into that new org?
Sure. So I think a couple things with the transition. When I was given this opportunity, I didn't even appreciate how big the supply chain organization was at Duke Energy. I didn't realize of the logistics and the warehouses that we had in addition to the sourcing and the procurements specialists that we have. So it was a learning about my own company as we transitioned. As you might expect, I easily gravitated to the financial aspects, trying to drive commercial value. Where can we leverage our scale? Because when you think of Duke Energy, you think of a $90 billion market cap company, a large public company, and we have over $15 billion going through our procurement department for contract labor and materials. How do we leverage that scale for the benefit of customers to drive down prices? So I naturally segued being the finance guy to that aspect. But I'll also say that one of the most important things to me is about people. And leadership's portable. It doesn't matter what industry you work in, what sector in the company you work, people still matter. And I tried to bring over and continue to learn because you never arrive with leadership. I want to be an evergreen student of that. But servant leadership, how can we make the team more effective? How can we help them grow in place and help them grow with new opportunities? And investing in them gives me joy, but it also makes us better.
What do you think makes a successful team then? I agree with you, by the way, 100%. It is completely portable. And I think the more people realize that it is that core aspect is the same across, I think we can operate better as an organization, by the way, as a society, right?
Right. Oh, but, sure. Yeah.
So what are like a few examples where are your go-to when you kind of build a team, when you maybe inherit a team? That's always a struggle for executives. Building a team requires you have certain control. Inheriting a team comes with a different struggles.
Yeah, a couple things inside of that. First of all, one shouldn't confuse leadership with who's on the org chart, because leadership and the org chart are not the same thing. Leadership can come from anywhere, and it's an unlimited quantity. There's only one chief procurement officer at Duke, but leaders can be every employee of the company. And so we're trying to unlock and enhance leadership. And the formula I've learned through the years, I didn't create any of this. I just try to beg, borrow, and steal from others and try to live it, is a model of crew, mission, me. You put the crew first. And if you take care of the crew, you give them purpose, the reason why they're showing up to work, and then the mission's going to be taken care of. And then I don't have to be first. I can be last, because if the crew's good and they take care of the mission, then I'm going to be good. And if you try to keep that order more times than not, sometimes in our business, the lights are out. And so we're not doing a lot of how are you doing with your career? We're going out and we're putting the lights back on. So you have to balance that, but overall trying to put crew first to execute our mission, and then I'm last. But if we do that well, then I get rewards.
Yeah, well, you nailed, I think, so many comparable into the sports and team sports and into family and communities. Not to put you on that strange spot, but I can speak from my experience. That definitely has, I think, was stronger 10, 15, maybe even, you know, definitely before, but even in the last 10 years ago, it was a lot clearer. And I do feel that needs to be reminded to folks joining the workforce or with the remote work and with the changes through COVID.
Right, right.
Sometimes people do lose eyesight on that priority order, because at the end of the day, this is where folks are finding opportunities to grow, are finding opportunities to progress in their career. Is not when they look at their own career path, is when they look at the crew or the team first.
Right.
And then they make sure the mission of the, or so like the global, I love that.
Yeah. 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 I get a lot of joy when I see others that have been on my team that are in leadership positions at this company and other companies, and they call and said that they got this promotion. That gives me a lot of joy to be a part of that. And I believe in technology. I believe generative AI is going to do wonderful things and we should embrace it. And so I'm not sticking my head in the sand with new processes and new technology. I just don't want to leave the people behind, because I don't care what century you're in, it's still going to matter. That's one guy's view, but for me, it still matters.
Oh, no, absolutely. I always say that this entire thing doesn't exist without people. Everything we do is serving each other, right? Every business is serving other businesses, is serving other people. The other day, where it's just serving people. Take people out of the equations, none of that ecosystem exists.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
So that's kind of where it all comes down to. But let's talk about your broad technology across your career, not only in the supply chain, but you've seen some of the waves that kind of came and gone, and some of them stick and some of them really kind of transformed. What do you think is the most important technology? Or honestly, for me, technology is not only like digital technology. It's, you know, in general, like the tools and like processes that you feel really sort of like impacted the workforce, you know, so like that you can literally come back and say before and after, this has been incredibly impactful.
This episode is brought to you by Tonkin. Tonkin is the operating system for business operations, providing businesses with the building blocks to orchestrate any process with no code or change management required. Contact us at Tonkin.com to learn how you can build complex processes fast.
Yeah, let me know if this is getting at what you're asking, but a couple things come to mind for me. One is we're developing an in-house technology that helps us track material. We call it Scout. And it allows us to track material from when it arrives into our warehouse till it goes on the job. Because unless you're scanning and barcoding, you can't find the material. And so labor is a key component to us. Material matters, but when you think of a dollar, 2/3 of that dollar is labor, 1/3 material. So we don't want to have idle crews. We want them to be productive. So we, with our support of our IT organization, a great partnership, are developing a product to make that easier, to make that more transparent, to cut out some of the noise in the system. So that's one thing that we're doing. Another thing that might not be as obvious to others is data analytics, trying to help us predict decisions that we want to make. We are a large company. We're complex. We have 26,000 employees, and we have lots of customers, as I described, that we have to take care of. And so we're relying more on heavy analytics, data mining, to make sure that we understand what we've done in the past, how that can help us in the future, because lead times for materials getting longer and longer, something that used to take 3 months is six, something that used to be 6 months is now a year to get. So we have to stay ahead of that. So we can't wait sometimes for a decision. We have to use this analysis. And that's been a game changer for us as well.
And I think it helps with democratizing your concept of everyone. Leadership is not the org chart. And did you guys, because I wonder, in some industries, or like the tech industry or the media industry, sometimes there's faster adoption of some of those capabilities. At least that's a perception. And what I've been seeing is that actually some of the more robust operational industries like manufacturing, like utilities and like oil and gas and a lot of other like more traditional quote unquote industries are actually bringing technology, automation, data, AI even much faster than I think people perceive. And I think your point here illustrated that. How is the people going back with people embracing those? Was that a big shift? Was that naturally accepted?
You know, we're on the journey here. AI has been around for a while. Generative has taken it to another level, but we're on that journey together. I think most employees would like to take some routine tasks off their desk so they can focus on doing the more complex judgmental things that give them a little more reward at the end of the day. So I don't feel like there's a fear of it for most folks, but we've got to learn how to use it. And we can't decouple it from the human aspect. You can't have the machine do all the thinking. You can do the research, but there needs to be a human in between that research and what we tell a customer or what we tell a supplier. So we're on a journey, and I think it's going to be good, but you just can't take the human component out of the equation.
Absolutely. So if we summarize some of that, those points together and look forward, where do you put your focus for the next couple of years as you kind of like leading that group and that department further? Is it different methodologies that you're thinking to implement or programs? How do you think about the sort of like the next 5 years of the ecosystem, but then kind of like how it implies to your company and your organization within?
We're a company that plans for the future. We have large assets and we're regulated. We have a lot of stakeholders that get to share their point of view and give us direction and input. But we're working toward a net zero carbon future by 2050. And there are many milestones along the way as you look at the next 5 years, the next 10, the next 20, as we get to 2050. And underneath that, supply chain needs to make sure that we get the materials that we need, that we get the contract labor that we need, the partnerships I've referenced a couple times, as well as the land that we need as we put solar farms and other renewables out there to serve customers. So we're going to grow as our regulators dictate and as our customers request. And my team and I, we've got to make sure that we position the company to do that well so that we can be reliable and affordable and increasingly clean.
Very good. You know, we talked through some of that transition. I always like to ask, if you look back into your career and congrats of all the success, what is one advice, sort of like a pay forward type of learning that you would share with others?
Yeah, what comes to my mind is advice I received probably 10 years ago. I'm competitive. If you see me on the tennis court or watching me pull for my football team, I'm competitive. I want to win. But I got advice from a supervisor a long time ago that says, your peers are not the competition. Help your peers be successful, and that will help you be successful. I had this mindset that I always wanted to win, right? And so that was translating into behavior that's, you know, sometimes could be counterproductive. So when you just take a step back and truly embrace this notion of being part of a team and that I'll get my turn, be a little patient and help your peers, everybody serves their boss because they like getting paid. And you typically take care of your employees, but you take care of your peers, those people sitting side by side. So since then, I think I've done a better job of that. Again, I have plenty of room to improve, but that was great advice to know that I'm part of a team. I don't have to win an individual battle for the team to win. And that's something that I've taken to heart since I got that advice.
I love it. I think speaking of football teams or, you know, of competition, which I completely can resonate, you know, the one thing 100% of the time people are confused about when it comes to career and be competitive in a career. When you compare it to a tennis court, that is a zero-sum game. Either win or lose. Right. But when you're with your team, with your business, you grow the business, everyone grows with it.
That's right.
Now you can be the best in your team. That by itself is not enough. Like the entire team needs to be really good. And then on top of that, you can also be the best. But if you're just doing a very good job, but everyone else are unable to perform and you could have helped them perform, but you didn't, as a team, you're going to lose the potential. So I think that's a very good advice. And so many times kind of like go over people's head. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it stuck with me. It meant a lot when I received that.
Great. So thank you so much. I really enjoyed that. That was great to hear about the progress and everything. If anyone wants to talk to you, learn more about what you guys do, or just nerd on any of those topics, where is a good place? Is it LinkedIn, other places?
Yeah, LinkedIn's great. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. I follow a lot of folks. I have a few followers. Happy to be available through LinkedIn.
Awesome. Dwight, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Modern Business Operations. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at tonkin.com/mbopod. Thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe for updates on future episodes. And if you're interested in staying up to date on all things business operations, join the Tonkin community at tonkin.com/community.